This is Monitor 69. I'm Roger Tuttle. And here to help us enjoy our weekend is music in a relaxed Latin mood by the Brazilian maestro, Jauma. The song, Lamento. Among those not moving is Brad Crandall, stuck in the snow somewhere in our favorite state of New Jersey. And among those snowed in, right here in Radio Central, me, your host for this evening on Monitor, Roger Tuttle. So pull up a warm radio and listen to our survey on commuter problems. We'll also meet the winner of the Bob Hope Desert Golf Classic, Billy Casper.
Gone cold.
Blanca. Good night, my love. Now, what about your love?
He loves me. He loves
me. He's sending you a Valentine candy and flowers arrangement through his nearby FTD florist.
He loves me.
Monitor's investigation of America's commuting problems has turned up, among other things, traffic jams in Los Angeles, a huge new bridge in Providence, record winter snowfalls in Duluth, and parking headaches in Houston. Now, continuing our look at this growing national problem, here's a report from Cape Kennedy, Florida.
Spaceport commuters have a standard complaint. Astronauts can fly around the Earth before they can drive home from work. Well, it's not quite that bad today, but several years ago it was. In fact, when the space program got into high gear, missile workers had to drive in low gear. There were only two-lane highways leading to the gates of Cape Kennedy, and only two of them. The main road crossed two rivers, and cars were literally stacked bumper to bumper across the causeway to the Florida mainland. In fact, a local radio station hitched a mule to a wagon and picked out a car in the line of traffic. They drove the mule down the shoulder of the road into the city of Cocoa, a 12-mile trip. The mule beat the car. Today, most of the highways have been four-laned, but there are still two-lane feeder roads. This is enough to create bottlenecks, and we received these comments from commuters when we asked them about the spaceport traffic.
Dad, oh, it's been a racket ever since it started around here. Been problems all along.
I don't like it at all. I wish it was a lot shorter and a lot faster.
Well, I'm glad to have a job.
Not good. It eats it. Terrible.
One engineer told me he was working on a rocket backpack to strap on and jet across the rivers to the launch pads. If he's successful, he could sell millions of the contraptions. Jay Barbary, NBC News, reporting for Monitor from Cape Kennedy.
The problem of getting to work in the morning and getting home at night is international in scope, as we'll see later in a report from Berlin. Bobby Gentry collaborating with Glenn Campbell. The time, 16 minutes after the hour, and you're on the Monitor Beacon.
What NBC News is to the nation, WNBC News is to New York. Worldwide or citywide, our coverage is complete on WNBC Radio 660 New York.
Monitor's weekend-long investigation of the life of the American commuter has involved many forms of transportation. But as far as we know, people aren't yet commuting by spacecraft. Still, let's not rule it out for the future. The recent success of Apollo 8 has accelerated interest in space travel to the point that people are beginning to want to know when they can get in on the fun. Well, the answer isn't clear yet, but our own Brad Crandall asked Mr. George Burns of Pan American Airways for an educated guess.
The details at this point are rather sketchy, although it is true that probably mostly as a result of the Apollo 8 expedition recently, Pan Am has gotten an awful lot of calls for people who want to be put on the wait list for the first commercial flight to the moon.
Did they know you had such a list, or did you just start one?
Well, actually, a year or so ago, a movie came out about flights to the moon, a movie called 2001.
Right.
Our wait list began then. This movie described flight by commercial passengers to the moon. People began calling into Pan Am, and quite seriously so, too. We've spoken to a number of them. They're not taking it in a frivolous sort of way. There are doctors who want to go there to study the effects of space on the human body. There are radiologists who want to study the radio waves of outer space. There are students. There are people who just want to go up and take a look at the place and see what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, before you and I go as passengers, a lot of preparatory work is going to have to be done.
Either that or there's no place to land, right?
Not only that, but we're going to have to build some hotels up there.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of restaurants. I don't know whether you'll be able to dig a well up there. You may have to set up an entire system for water and plumbing.
Yeah, it is very true of the modern world, I think, that you could take a man all the way to the moon and then have him complain because his bathroom wasn't working.
That's right. Mm.
Gee, it would be nice because maybe I could go as a reporter. You suppose?
Well, I'll be the press escort on the first flight.
I'll hang around and ask.
We'll go together.
Thank you, George.
Thank you.
We've been talking with George Byrne, spokesman for Pan American World Airways, an airline with a very active and growing waiting list of people anxious to take that first commercial airline flight to the moon.
Brad, if that invitation is still good, you've got a lot of people going with you right here on monitor. We're undergoing some 10 inches of snow here in New York. You'll have a lot of passengers. You know, the trouble is, it takes 3 days to fly to the moon, and I'd hate to watch that long a movie. But while we're considering space travel, here's a reminder. Later on the NBC Radio Second Sunday series, there'll be a special program entitled The Moon, Is This Trip Necessary? Narrated by Peter Hackus, our space correspondent, this program will explore the question of whether U.S. space activity is draining away the funds needed for domestic projects, such as the war against poverty. The issues, pro and con, will be discussed by authorities in government, our space agencies, and the private sector. Don't miss The Moon, Is This Trip Necessary? Later here on NBC Radio. Someday soon, the voice of Judy Collins.
There's a young man that I know, his age is 21. Comes from down in southern Colorado. Just out of the service, and he's looking for his fun. Someday soon.
Just a minute, we'll have another report on the Bob Hope Desert Golf Classic, brought to you by Chrysler Corporation.
This is Bob Hope, complete with hard top, fast back, and bucket seat, which is pretty appropriate since I'm going to talk about an exclusive from Chrysler Corporation. It's called Customer Care, and it comes as standard equipment on every Chrysler-built car. Customer Care covers more problems than a security blanket, and it starts from the time they fasten the first bolt on your brand-new car. When they say they don't build them like they used to, it's a cinch they're not talking about Chrysler Corporation, because their quality control begins from the time your car is nothing more than a gleam in an engineer's eye. And everyone works with just one idea in mind, to see to it that the beauty of Chrysler-built cars is a lot more than only skin deep. And it sure pays off for both you and Chrysler. Because no matter how much the new models change from year to year, one thing at Chrysler stays the same, and that's the quality of the product. Why not sample it yourself? Try a little Customer Care at your Chrysler, Plymouth, or Dodge dealer soon.
Now, the Bob Hope Desert Classic. A slight pause while we switch to the Indian Wells Country Club in Palm Desert, California.
This is Frank Dill, and it's official. Billy Casper has won the 1969 Bob Hope Desert Classic, firing a brilliant 6-under par 66 today. 33 in the front nine, 33 in the back nine, and that back nine included an eagle on 14 and a birdie on 18. He won it by 3 shots over Dave Hill, who also had a 66 today and finished 12 strokes under par for the 90 holes of play. Jack Montgomery finished third at 11 under par with a 70 today. Art Wall at 10 under par took the number 4 spot. Wall, who was in contention most of the day, finished with a 1 under 71 in this final round. Minutes after he canned the final putt on the 18th green at Indian Wells, we had a chance to talk to the winner, Billy Casper. Congratulations from NBC Monitor, second time in the Bob Hope Desert Classic.
Eh? Thank you very much, Frank. Hey, the keyhole for you must have been the 14th in that eagle. That gave you a little breathing space, didn't it?
Well, definitely it did. I had hit 2 putts on 10 and 12 that lipped the hole, and of course I whopped that thing in there at 14, and that really did help. And I was very, very fortunate. I putted extremely well today. I missed 2 greens and hit 2 par 5s and 2, so I played a very good round.
You know, I noticed that after yesterday's round, when you told me you hit the ball very well but didn't putt too well, you were out practicing your putting last night, weren't you?
Yes, and I think I found something.
Uh-huh.
You know, a lot of people are looking for secrets to improve their golf game. There really is only one secret, and that's practice.
The world's greatest putter went out and practiced his putting last night, and it paid off.
Sure did, Frank, and it's always a great thrill to win right here, sort of right in my backyard, and particularly to win a tournament that is sponsored by such a wonderful, wonderful American, Bob Hope.
Congratulations to you and your wife, Shirley.
Thank you very much,
Frank. All
right,
Bill. Bill Casper, the winner of the 1969 Bob Hope Desert Classic.
Special attention should be given to the round shot today by Dean Beeman, who finished 6 strokes off the pace, but today set a new course record at Indian Wells by firing a 62, 10 under par. Beeman finished at 9 under, 6 strokes behind, and in a tie with many for 5th place in this tournament. This is Frank Dill for Monitor Sports.
We'll have a wrap-up report later on today, brought to you by Chrysler Corporation. But right now, this word from Dodge.
This is Joe Garagiola. The grueling Union Pure Oil performance trials at Daytona are over, and one name dominated the headlines, Dodge. In this NASCAR-sanctioned test of acceleration, fuel economy, and braking, Dodge was overall winner in 3 classes. Polara in Class 2, Monaco in Class 3, and Charger RT in Class 8. And Charger RT also beat all 60 cars in acceleration. And a dart swinger was tops in economy. A big win for Dodge. And another big reason to see your Dodge dealer today.
something there to remind me. The Baja Marimba Band on Monitor 69, your coast-to-coast information and entertainment center. In the area around Natchez, Mississippi, our friends follow the action on station WMIS. This is Roger Tuttle. Roger Tuttle here with Monitor on this, the 9th day of February. Well, 6 weeks left before winter is officially over, and according to the groundhog in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania last week, it'll be 6 weeks of miserable weather. Well, so far he's right, because our East Coast is having a miserable day today, about 10 inches of misery. London also reported a snowstorm yesterday that stopped the traffic. And if you're the kind who likes to know that everybody's got misery, here's Leapy Lee spreading gloom with Here Comes the Rain.
Open my eyes, slowly I waken only to find my dreams are lies, my lonely heart. Here comes the rain, I see it falling. Here comes the rain into my eyes. The sky.
With Bob Considine, brought to you by Mutual of Omaha, the company that pays.
The second and last B-70 supersonic research plane has gone to its grave, the Museum of Antique Planes at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, Dayton, Ohio. The only other B-70 was lost in a spectacular mid-air collision back in 1966. The two of them cost the taxpayers well over $1 billion. Was the project worth it? I'll be back with an answer, I hope. But first, here's something to remember from Mutual of Omaha.
Baby, baby, baby child, soft and sweet, meek and mild.
Getting ready for a new baby is a wonderful experience. It's a time of warmth and closeness and love. And a time for lots of medical bills you won't have to worry about if you have Mutual of Omaha Health Insurance. The Mutual of Omaha man right in your own community can show you how all-around family protection can pay more of your hospital and doctor bills, and even up to $600 in maternity benefits. It makes sense, doesn't it, to be ready for the high cost of hospital and doctor bills. And it's so easy when you count on the man from Mutual of Omaha, the company that babies you, so you can baby your baby.
As dear as you are.
Today.
The B-70, or Valkyrie, as the supersonic bomber was going to be called, was to have been the successor to the old B-52, the big subsonic bomber which is still hammering away in the war in Vietnam. But the Valkyrie, a name chosen from Norse mythology to designate the handmaidens who selected those destined to be slain in battle, was itself slain. It was clobbered by Defense Secretary McNamara, who also slew several other Air Force pet projects. McNamara decided we really didn't need a successor to the old B-52, so he stopped production on the B-70. Only two were built. The second one, which was batted out of the sky by one of the planes participating in an Air Force publicity stunt, was much the better of the rare B-70s. It contained more modern instrumentation than the first Valkyrie. The Air Force never had the money to equip either of them, however, with the very latest things in control and navigational devices. They were, in truth, the empty shells of an Air Force dream of a great big plane that could carry a belly full of H-bombs across the world at 2,000 miles an hour and drop those bombs unerringly on enemy targets. McNamara, however, said nonsense and put the money into intercontinental missiles. The two B-70s were produced by 800 suppliers from 47 states. North American was the prime contractor. One plane flew 83 times, the other made 46 flights before it was destroyed. The longest supersonic flight either made was the 1,190 miles separating Edwards Air Force Base, California, and Carswell Air Force Base in Texas. The flight time was 1 hour. The B-70 was not a total loss. The steel industry developed new alloys to meet its requirements. At 2,000 miles an hour, its metal skin's temperature rose to 500 degrees. The commercial supersonic airliner, when and if we get one, will be a pup out of the B-70. The men who flew the B-70 will teach the men who will fly the faster-than-sound airliner. Methods of insulating the B-70 crew from extreme heat to extreme cold will enable supersonic passengers to tool along in a shirt-sleeved environment, though the skin of their plane may be 500 degrees above and the air through which they are flying perhaps 100 degrees below zero. But the planes themselves were considered obsolete before they really got underway, and Secretary McNamara made the decision stick. All that's left of the project is the plane that you can now view at the museum in Dayton, Ohio, where a couple of young men named Wright once lived. This is Bob Considine for Monitor. Now, here's something to remember from Mutual of Omaha.
Baby, baby, baby child, soft and sweet, meek and mild.
A new baby doesn't have to need new medical bills to worry about if you're insured with Mutual of Omaha. Not when they pay you up to $600 in maternity benefits. Get all the happy facts from the Mutual of Omaha man in your neighborhood. Call him today.
On the Line with Bob Considine has been brought to you by Mutual of Omaha and its life insurance affiliate, United of Omaha. Roger Tuttle here with Monitor 69. If you're a typical American, and I guess we all are, I'm sure you've got things on your mind, questions you'd like to have answered, perhaps problems you'd like to discuss. Well, here in New York, Brad Crandall, your regular Sunday evening Monitor host, does a telephone show on WNBC Radio. But to see what they're talking about in other parts of the country, he checked with hosts of similar programs. In a couple of minutes, you'll hear what Bernie Herman's listeners in Indianapolis had on their minds. First, music. Claudine Auger with her latest Hurry On Down.
Hurry on down to my house, baby. Ain't nobody home but me. Hurry on down to my house, baby. I'm as blue as I can be. Mama's gone, Papa too. I called you on the phone because I'm feeling blue. Hurry on down to my house, baby. Ain't nobody home but me. Hurry on, hurry home, hurry down, baby. Ain't nobody home but me. Hurry on down, baby. I'm as blue as I can be. Wait, so how can you? Don't you know that I depend on what you do? Hurry on down to my house, baby. Baby, be at my house soon. Hurry, hurry, hurry up, baby. Ain't nobody home but me. Hurry on down, baby. I'm as blue as I can ever be. called you on the phone because I'm feeling blue. Hurry on down to my house, baby. Baby, be at my house soon. Ain't nobody home but me. Ain't nobody home but me.
Bernie Herman's Open Line, a program heard on WFBM in Indianapolis, Indiana, is the popular telephone talk show in that part of the country. Well, our own Brad Crandall talked with Bernie Herman on Monitor's Open Line, and he asked him what his listeners had on their minds this week.
They've been talking about the treatment of Commander Booker by the Naval Board of Inquiry.
Mm-hmm. How does the opinion generally run?
The opinion is that they feel that Commander Booker is perhaps getting a raw deal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Navy, of course, as you know, has denied this. But the people here are extremely sensitive. As a matter of fact, some petitions are being signed currently by a number of people that suggest that not only does Commander Booker deserve a recommendation and perhaps a medal for meritorious service, but also deserves another command of the ship, which is something he wants and he said he wanted.
Mm-hmm. Somehow that, in view of what little I know of the Navy, that doesn't seem very likely, does it to you?
Well, it doesn't seem likely. Somebody said they felt that perhaps he was more in line for a court-martial than another ship. But I can tell you the feeling of the people generally here is one of almost vehemence against those who would mistreat Commander Booker, who they feel has had enough mistreatment already at the hands of his Korean captors.
Mm-hmm. In other words, this is an aspect of sympathy rather than one of evaluation of him as a captain.
I would think so.
All right, Bernie, what else besides the pueblo?
Well, there's been some talk about the raises in pay for congressmen and our senators,
and
I could tell you that there is a vocal defiance of any increase in pay, for the most part. You always have people who will be on the side of the legislators, but I think generally the feeling here is that they're getting paid enough.
Mm.
Of course, the more money they get, the more money has to be raised in taxes.
Right.
And there is a definite vocal defiance of any increase in taxes of any kind, not only nationally but locally, where we're having the problem.
Mm-hmm. What about the hijackings, Bernie? Are you getting any comment on them?
We're getting a great deal of comment about the hijackings. People, of course, want to know what we can do. They're distressed about the fact that some human lives might be taken by accident. Some ship going out of control, going down, a guy's shot going astray, killing somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But what they would like to know is if it isn't possible for there to be a shuttle service between Miami and Havana. Expressly for the purpose of transporting those who'd like to go to Cuba.
As a matter of fact, there is.
There is.
Yeah, State Department has a courier flight going in and out every day.
Well, this is the strange part of it.
Anybody who wants to ride on it can ride on it free. All I got to do is get on.
Right. Now, the people who are actually hijacking planes are paying for their tickets getting on.
Right.
I hear you're offering a service, or the government is offering a service, where they could go to Cuba for free.
Yeah, but you see, I think the point is, Bernie, that they don't really want to go to Cuba. They want to hijack an airplane. Cuba is an afterthought because it does not have extradition with the United States.
Well, how much of it do you think is the covering of oneself with a personal glory of getting
right.
a recognition that he would never have gotten in his ordinary human humdrum life?
Right. This is John Doe suddenly being the hero of the moment. And this is where the problem, I think, is really going to be. And how we deal with that, I don't know. Thank you very much, Bernie. It's been nice having you with us.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Bernie Herman, and thank you, Brad. For some further examples of what America is talking about, we'll hear from our affiliate WTAG in Worcester, Massachusetts, right after some Monitor music by the New Christy Minstrels.
Phantasmagorical machine. You're
minutes ago on Monitor's open line, we heard what's on the mind of radio listeners in Indianapolis, Indiana. Now we're going to hear from Worcester, Massachusetts. Bob Gamier does a telephone talk show entitled Talk of the Town. Brad Crandall asked him what was of major interest to his callers this past week. Well, we've got an open line into Worcester, and Brad Crandall and Bob Gamier. Let's see if we can get that line open again. No? Well, we'll come back to it in just a moment. Now I think our open line is there. Bob Gamier in Worcester, Massachusetts, and Brad Crandall.
Well, the pill has been very interesting. Up until last year, people were not allowed to give out birth control advice, even to married people.
That's nice.
So the state legislature at least modified that so that doctors can give out contraceptive devices to married people.
Mm.
And also married people can purchase these in stores, drugstores, obviously.
Mm.
But the thing is, it's still illegal for people who are not married, at least as far as the books are concerned. Now, we had a fellow from New York, Bill Baird, from out in Long Island,
yeah,
who was attempting to test this law. And he came right here into Worcester, into one of the large chain shopping stores, with a single girl was with him. He's married, so it wouldn't apply to him.
Mm-hmm.
And she, of course, had no trouble purchasing these things. In fact, they had a display right there in the store.
Mm-hmm.
So he made enough publicity about it, and the police had to come and arrest him. And he's taking this case to court, and he was found guilty by one judge, and he appealed that, and he was found guilty again. Now, here this guy faces 10 years in jail. This is Bill Baird. And everybody's been saying right along, well, he won't get 10 years in jail. But the fact is, that's how it stands right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get 10 years in jail for trying to test this particular law, which everybody does, or at least everybody would be free to do if they so desired. He did it, was arrested, and he could go to jail for 10 years.
Mm-hmm. There's an interesting historical sidelight on that, too, I would think. It seems to me that, bearing in mind the influx of immigration into the state of Massachusetts over the past, 50 or 100 years, how much of the support for those laws now comes not from the Puritan or Protestant sects, but from within the Roman Catholic Church?
Well, you hit it right on the nose. The laws were on the books originally because of the Protestant sects, the Pilgrims. But now, with Massachusetts being predominantly Catholic, the great outcry, and especially since the papal encyclical, of course, the great outcry comes from the Catholics. And Bill makes that a point whenever he's on the radio stations and all. And he's been through the Commonwealth, of course.
Mm-hmm.
He gets on the radio, and obviously he gets quite a reaction from the people.
Mm-hmm.
Even when he's not on, people want to talk about it. But you're dead right. I mean, the Protestants now would be considered the liberals in this particular field, and the Catholics really arch conservatives.
Mm-hmm. That's the way history seems to double cross us every time.
Well, that's what happened here in Massachusetts.
Thank you very much for being with us, Bob.
Thank you, Brad.
Nice talking to you.
That was Bob Gamier of Station WTAG, Worcester, Massachusetts, my old hometown, with a rundown of what his listeners want to talk about. Well, as you can see, one of the big issues of the day in that area is involved with some very old laws. Once again now, Monitor Music.
When she smiles up soft and tender with the trace of misty morning and the promise of tomorrow in her eyes. And I just can't help believing when she's lying close beside me and my heart beats with the rhythm of her sigh. Her hand in my hand, and it feels so small and helpless that my fingers fall around it like a glove. And I just can't help believing when she's whispering her magic and the tears are shining.
The girl is gone to
Buskirk, I just can't help believing. And if there's someone you want to believe in you, here's how.
He loves me. He loves
me. He's sending you a Valentine candy and flowers arrangement through his nearby FTD florist.
He loves me.
Matola and the orchestra, you and only you. You know, in case you've missed the story of an incident that happened earlier this week, they caught Private Donald Till again. He was being flown to Fort Riley, Kansas, to stand trial for going AWOL when he suddenly decided he didn't want to be court-martialed. So he went AWOL again. This time, however, by parachuting out of a plane at 3,000 feet. Still, you can't really call him a coward, can you? For what else is going on in the world, stay tuned for NBC News on the Hour. Roger Tuttle here.
In sports, how do you know the heroes from the villains? By listening to Guy LeBeau. How do you know the winners from the losers? By listening to Guy LeBeau. Not only does he let you know who they are, but he tells you how they got that way. So, if you really want to understand what's happening in sports and why, just listen to me. I'm Guy LeBeau. Weeknights, 7:10, right here. This is the place, WNBC Radio 660.
The Rotary Club of New York is comprised of approximately 550 business and professional executives. With few exceptions, they're busy men bearing heavy responsibilities. Yet in one way or another, they all participate in the club's community service activities. A youth center, a guidance program, and an international student program are just three of Rotary's activities. WNBC Radio salutes the Rotary Club of New York as it celebrates its 60th anniversary.
You could be a winner if you play our game, Fortune Phone, on WNBC Radio 660, New York.
NBC Monitor News on the Hour. Brought to you by the Retail Clerks International Association, dedicated exclusively to the welfare of retail store employees.